Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another visit to the Quran in our journey with the Quran from the beginning of Ramadan. And today, inshallah, we will cover parts of the 19th juz of the Quran. And basically, we're going to cover, inshallah, Surah An-Naml, Surah Al-Qasas, and Surah Al-Ankabut. These are predominantly Surah Makkiyah. Surah An-Naml, the title of the surah is An-Naml. And An-Naml are the ants, very tiny insect. However, we can learn a lot from this very tiny insect. Anyone who has studied read anything about something called the swarm theory. A swarm is a large number of a certain species that moves together as a community and acts together as a community. And this community does not necessarily have a leader. Every individual member of that community assumes a certain prescribed role, and that's an essential and indispensable role within that community. So we find, for example, that the ants have such a role or have such a society. Some of the birds have such a society. The locusts have such a society. And the bees have such a society. Although in the bee colony there's something called the queen, the only role of the queen is to lay eggs. But without the work of the workers within that bee colony, the colony would collapse. Similarly, within the ants, their roles are divided. Some of them are called the foragers. These are the ones who go to explore where the sources of food are. I noticed something when I was young, and I shared that with my children and with some other young children. If you notice a line of ants walking on a certain surface, and you just with your finger make a line across from that line of ants, not killing any of the ants, but in the space between the ants, you wipe your finger on that line, you're going to find that the line is interrupted for a few seconds. And the ants are sort of circling. They don't know where to go. They used to follow that invisible line, and then gradually one of them is going to start venturing forward to establish that trail of pheromones or of smell that these ants are going to be following. So subhanallah, in observing the ants by themselves, and there are many species of ants, many sizes, many colors, many properties, within the same family of insects, and subhanallah, you're going to find that very interesting behavior of the ants. Another miracle, subhanallah, within the ants, at least from an engineering perspective, and this was an experiment that was done several times. Scientists try to find how does the ant colony clean itself, how does it get air in the depth of the soil where they establish their colonies and their nests. And some of them have tried to kick the ants out of their mound and then pour molten metal within that mound. So the metal is going to take the shape of all the voids and the passageways within that mound. And subhanallah, they found it so miraculous that the ants create these different intersecting paths that provide a path for movement, a path for escape, and as well a path for cleaning that colony and a path for aeration for the air to penetrate this colony. So subhanallah, we have a lot to learn from this tiny insect, the ant. In the story, one of the major stories that come in Surah An-Naml is the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman ala Nabina alayhi salatu wassalam. Sayyidina Sulaiman ibn Dawood ala Nabina alayhi salatu wassalam, both of them are prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Sayyidina Sulaiman with that unique gift of understanding the language of the different other species, where it is birds, animals, insects, different other creatures. He could also control the jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the jinn work under his command subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him the gift of ordering the wind to go wherever he wanted. So basically he can command with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the authorization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can command the clouds to go to a certain place to give their water and their rain. And therefore, the kingdom of Sayyidina Sulaiman ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was a kingdom based on justice, based on wisdom, as we have discussed before, the wisdom of Sayyidina Sulaiman from a very young age, and based on knowledge and based on prosperity, subhanallah. It was a kingdom ahead of its time. Sayyidina Sulaiman ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam was traveling with his army, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the story. And according to some narrations, he noticed a gap in the sky. One of the narrations says, for example, that he was traveling and then some of the sun rays, he ordered the birds to form an artificial cloud to protect the army from the heat of the sun. And then while they were traveling, sun rays fell on his face. So he looked at the sky and he saw a gap where there should have been a bird to spread its wings to protect the army from that particular tiny spot. And Sayyidina Sulaiman looked at the sky and he recognized, because he used to set his soldiers, these animals, these birds, he used to set them in rows and in ranks so he would know exactly who should be in that particular spot. And when he looked, he said, "Why don't I see the opoe, the very tiny bird with some strange looking feathers on the top of its head? It's a very unique looking bird, beautiful bird." Sayyidina Sulaiman asked, "Why don't I see that bird? He should have been in this particular spot, filling that spot." And then this means a disobedience. A disobedience in an army, or deserting in an army, is a very dangerous thing. In modern armies, it's usually punished by a court-martial, and it can result in a death penalty for the deserters in many cases. So Sayyidina Sulaiman, when he looked at that hudhud and he missed it, he said, "I am going to punish it a severe punishment, or maybe I'm going to slaughter it, because that's a deserter that disobeyed the command of not only a leader, but a prophet, ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, unless he comes back with a very valid excuse, and it's got to be a very good excuse." So Sayyidina Sulaiman looked, and a few minutes later, or a few hours later, that hudhud came. And he came to Sayyidina Sulaiman, and before Sayyidina Sulaiman asked him, "Where have you been?" he said something very severe and very challenging. He's talking to his leader, he's talking to a prophet who receives revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he started by saying, "Ahattu bima lam tuhit bih," "I have known something that you don't." "وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَئٍ بِنَبَئٍ يَقِينٍ," "And I have the news to confirm that I came to you from a far distance, from the kingdom of Saba." Now, Sayyidina Sulaiman is in Palestine. The kingdom of Saba is in Yemen. There are hundreds or even thousands of miles of separation between the two. So that Hudhud traveled all that distance, and he came back with confirmed news. What were these news? "Inni wajadtu imra'atan tamlikuhum wa utiyat min kulli shay'in wa laha 'arshun 'azim." I found a kingdom, a prosperous kingdom, ruled by a woman. And she has a lot of wealth. This is a very wealthy kingdom, and she has a great throne. She is obeyed in her people. She is very well respected to her people. So far, that's not big news. There are other dynasties, there are other kingdoms, some other place in the world. So what's so unique about that? And then came the news, the important news from the Hudhud. He wanted to give an introduction, and now the main news. "وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ أَلَّا يَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبْءَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ الله لا إله إلا هو رب العرش العظيم. That was the big declaration of the Hudhud, the big news that Sayyidina Sulaiman did not know about. The Hudhud is complaining about this kingdom, this prosperous kingdom that has been blessed with so many bounties by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet they are worshipping the sun. They are prostrating to the sun. The queen and her followers are prostrating to the sun apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Hudhud, with his sense of faith, with his faith filling its tiny heart, the Hudhud is wondering, how come with all of these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all of this prosperity, this seems to be a civilized kingdom, how come they do not recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wouldn't they, shouldn't they rather prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah yasjudu lillah. To the Hudhud, and this is a very interesting remark here, subhanallah, how does the Hudhud, that tiny bird, how does it get its sustenance, its food? It has a very thin and pointy beak. With that beak, it pecks in the ground. It digs in the ground with that beak, and it gets the different tiny insects and tiny worms from that ground. These worms are hidden under that soil, so he has to pick that soil with its tiny beak to get these worms. So to him, one of the greatest signs of the majesty and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables him with this tiny beak to expose what's hidden under the surface of the ground. Therefore, he said to its tiny mind that's full of faith, أَلَّا يَسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبْأَ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the one who exposes and extracts what's hidden in the heavens and the earth. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. So he is a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Sulaiman ala Nabiyan alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was on that journey with his army, before he checked that vacant space in the sky, Sayyidina Sulaiman was passing with his army by an ant colony. And Sayyidina Sulaiman heard a very tiny voice coming from that ant colony. An ant, not the leader of the ants, not the queen of the ants, not the head of the colony, but a member of that colony. And again, going back to that swarm theory and the importance of the role of every individual in that society. One of the ants, maybe one of those foragers that went ahead to try to explore the sources of food and come back to the colony telling them where to find the food, one of those pioneers who go or rangers to go looking for food, it heard a loud noise, stomping of the feet of the horses on the ground. So it went back quickly to its colony, warning them, get out of your hiding places, get out of your mound, get out of your nest. Otherwise, you're going to be trampled by Sulaiman and his army without them even knowing, because they don't see us. And Sayyidina Sulaiman ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he heard that call for action from that tiny ant, he smiled. فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا. And when he smiled, he wondered about the wisdom, the beauty of that call for action and that warning of the ant. That ant is like a messenger to its people. It's warning them about something that might happen to them, which is one of the roles of the prophets and messengers عَلَى نَبِيْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So he smiled from what she said, and he told his soldiers to take a detour so that as not to trample and to step on that ant mound and to stay away from these ants. And he immediately recognized the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, without hearing that cry for help or that call for action, we would have killed these innocent insects and without even knowing. And that's why the ant says, لَا يَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They don't even feel us, they don't even see us, we're so tiny, and they're not paying attention to us. So as soon as Sayyidina Sulaiman recognized that call and gave the orders to divert their path to protect this wise ant and its colony, he immediately recognized the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said the very beautiful dua, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. O Allah, enable me to thank the bounties that you have bestowed upon me and upon my parents, and allow me to do good deeds, and get me with your mercy into your pious servants. We're going to see another version of this dua later, inshallah, in Surah Al-Ahqaf. And this was not, this time it was not said by Sayyidina Sulaiman, but it should be said by every individual who reaches the age of maturity and they start probably noticing some gray hair in their heads, male or female, or in their beards, especially when they are males. And they would reminisce on that, now that I have reached the age of 40, the age of maturity, looking back at the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he nurtured me from being a fetus to being a young baby, to being a young child, to being a teenager, to being an adult. And now I have reached the peak of my mental maturity, my physical maturity, my spiritual maturity. So it is a milestone for me to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his bounties. The conclusion of the ayah, however, is slightly different, and we're going to address it at that time, inshallah. Going back to the story of the Hudhud, what should Sayyidina Sulaiman do? So Sayyidina Sulaiman immediately recognized that this is a valid excuse. You are excused for being absent since you came with this important news. However, to confirm your news, take this letter from me and give it to them. Drop it in the lap of that queen. Now this Hudhud, who traveled these thousands of miles, now he has been commissioned by Sayyidina Sulaiman to make his trip back thousands of miles to deliver a very important yet very brief message. And that's how important messages should be. They should be very brief and to the point. He took that message, he flew the thousands of miles, dropped that message in the lap of the queen, who was surprised to see a message dropping from the sky, but she saw the messenger. She opened the message and she immediately summoned her advisors. She said, "Inni ulqiya ilayya kitabun kareem." I have received a very dignified letter from someone very important. "Innahu min Sulaiman." The letter is from Sulaiman. We have heard about him from these thousands of miles. "Wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim alla ta'lu alayya wa'tuni muslimin alla ta'lu alayya wa'tuni muslimin." That's it. Two line letter. First of all, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, for her to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if she hasn't heard about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innahu min Sulaiman. It is from Sulaiman. This is a message of high importance from a very high authority, from a very powerful king, Sayyidina Sulaiman ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa innahu bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alla ta'lu alayya. The content of the letter. Alla ta'lu alayya wa'tuni muslimin. Don't even think about resisting. Don't even think about challenging and fighting. And come to me in full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was a democratic queen, so she didn't want to make the decision on her own. But obviously she was not surrounded by very smart consultants, because when she consulted with them, the consultants are there to give a consult. So they should give their opinion to her. That's why she appointed them. However, they deferred to her. She asked them, "What should I do?" أفتوني في أمري ما كنت قاطعة أمرا حتى تشهدون. Tell me what to do. I wouldn't make a decision on my own. I want your consultation. And they immediately said, قالوا نحن أولو قوة وأولي بأس شديد. We are a very mighty, very powerful dynasty. We have a strong army. And then look at their feeble mind. وَالْأَمْرُ إِلَيْكِ فَانْظُرِي مَاذَا تَأْمُرِينَ. You make the decision. Whatever you decide, we're going to comply. That's not what she called you in the first place. She called you to get your advice. And now you're deferring back to her. So she was a very smart and wise woman. She said, I'm going to test the mettle of this man. Is he truly who he claims to be, a prophet, a messenger, a reformer? Or is he someone who can be bribed? وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ بِهَدِيَّةٍ فَنَاظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. I'm going to send them a bribe, a gift, in the form of a gift. And I'm going to see what would the messengers, the carriers of that gift, what they're going to get back to me with, describing that king, describing his kingdom, how strong they are, etc. And when that these messengers came with huge gifts from Saba, that prosperous kingdom, to Sayyidina Sulaiman, Sayyidina Sulaiman looked at that, these trivial gifts. His servants, his soldiers could provide him with much better gifts. قَالَ أَتُمِدُّونَنِي بِمَالِ. Are you trying to bribe me with money? فَمَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا آتَاكُمْ. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me is much better than what you have. ارجع إليهم. Go back. Take your gifts. We're not even going to accept them. Go back and expect my army to arrive. My army, since you did not respond to my initial message, now it's time to see, to show you a show of power. And then he knew that his response is going to be enough. They will come as he initially intended. They will come Muslimin. They will come in submission. But he wanted to give that queen a test and to show her the amount of his power. So he asked the entourage around him, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. He recognized that once they receive the answer, once they see the rejection of the gifts, and once these messengers see the power of Sayyidina Sulaiman and the prosperity of the kingdom, they would come in submission. So Sayyidina Sulaiman asked the people around him, who among you can bring me her throne before they arrive, before they come in submission? One of the jinn and one of the capable jinn, ifritum min al-jinn, he said, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. You are in a meeting with your consultants right now. Before you finish that meeting, I'm going to travel these thousands of miles and bring the throne and bring it back to you here. But someone is more powerful than that. And again, this is a great power. Someone is more powerful than that. Asif ibn Barkhiya, the minister of Sayyidina Sulaiman and one of the pious servants, the one who supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the glorious, the most glorious name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ismu Allah al-A'zam. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. Now, this jinn has great powers and he can travel very fast. He can come back within a few minutes. However, I am going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me bring it to you in the blink of an eye. قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. فلما رآه مستقرا عنده قال هذا من فضل ربي. When he made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought that throne from these thousands of miles in the blink of an eye because of the strength of his dua and his conviction and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he immediately recognized this is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا من فضل ربي ليبلوني أأشكر أم أكفر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me with this gift to see if I'm going to be appreciating and showing gratitude for this gift, or am I going to say, look how strong I am, look how powerful I am, I'm stronger than the strongest of jinn. ومن شكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن ربي غني كريم. Whoever thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they only benefit themselves. And whoever rebels against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not show that gratitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani, in no need. Kareem, generous subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Sulaiman told his people, disguise her throne. Put it upside down. Let's see if she recognizes it or not. قَالَ نَكِّرُوا لَهَا عَرْشَهَا نَنْظُرْ أَتَهْتَدِي أَمْ تَكُونُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَتَّدُونَ. فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ قيل أهكذا عرشك, when she came traveling that long distance in submission with her army. سيدنا سليمان tested her, does your throne look like this? She looked at the throne, it's impossible. I left my throne in Yemen. And it is actually identical to my throne, but why is it upside down? So she said, قالت كأنه, it resembles it quite a lot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the knowledge that he gave Sayyidina Sulaiman. And then Sayyidina Sulaiman wanted to test her again, to show her a show of power. So he made her enter a palace of his that had a floor made of transparent thin glass. And underneath that floor, there was water with fish swimming in it. قيل لا أدخل الصرح فلما رأته حسبته لجة وكشفت عن ساقيها قال إنه صرح ممرد من قوارير. He told her, come visit my palace. And when she was about to step in, she saw what appeared to her as water. So she tucked her clothes and exposed her legs. And Sayyidina Sulaiman, no need for that. This is just solid floor. It's just transparent glass. This was a miracle. There was nothing like that at that time. إنه صرح ممرد من قوارير. She immediately recognized that whoever has a palace like that, whoever has a floor like that, whoever could bring my throne in the blink of an eye, that has got to be a prophet and a messenger. A messenger قالت أسلمت مع سليمان لله رب العالمين. قالت ربي إني ظلمت نفسي وأسلمت مع سليمان لله رب العالمين. Oh Allah, I have been unfair to myself by worshipping the sun apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I'm declaring my tawbah, my repentance, and I am following Sulaiman as one of his followers, worshipping Allah Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the core stories in Surah An-Naml. We're going to jump forward to some of the most beautiful ayat in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking questions that carry their own answers. قل الحمد لله. Say الحمد لله. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. And may be peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on his servants that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. أَهَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better, or what they are associating with him subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the question in a very beautiful set of ayat. أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وأنزل لكم من السماء ماء فأنبتنا به حدائق ذات بهجة ما كان لكم أن تنبتوا شجرها أإله مع الله بل هم قوم يعدلون. Would it be the one who created the heavens and the earth, and the one who gave you water from the heavens, and through that water you grew gardens and fruits and vegetables? Without this water you wouldn't have been able to grow. Is there a Lord with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ. They are unfair people who associate and equate something or someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمَّنْ جَعْلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَجَعْلَ خِلَالَهَا أَنْهَارًا وَجَعْلَ لَهَا رَوَاسِي وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ حَاجِزًا أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is it the one who has made that earth a safe haven for you, safe place to live, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala made through it rivers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported it with mountains to give it stability, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala made a barrier between the two bodies of water, so you have rivers that are flowing into the sea, fresh water flowing into salty water, without either one of them trespassing on the other. There's going to be a buffer between the two. أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there a Lord with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And then moving from the universal to the individual. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Is it the one who responds to the supplication of the person in distress or in need, and he relieves that distress and satisfies that need? And he's the one who made you his successors on this earth, to inhabit this earth and to fill that earth. أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Very few of you do remember and recognize. أَمَّنْ يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَنْ يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Isn't it the one who guides you in the darknesses of land and sea, and the one who sends wind with the good news, with the clouds that carry rain from his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there a Lord with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala? تَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Glorified is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is supreme from what they are claiming. أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَمَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Is it the one who starts the creation and the one who's gonna restore it when he subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, and he's the one who sustains you from the heavens and the earth? Is there a Lord with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you're honest, if you're truthful, bring your proof, bring the credentials of that equal Lord. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to all of these false allegations of equality with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ. No one knows what's hidden in the heavens and the earth but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people do not know when is it going to be the time for the resurrection. Very beautiful ayat talking about some of the unique attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone deserves to be worshipped. Jumping to another ayah before we conclude with Surah An-Naml, a very beautiful ayah also. وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ صُنْعَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ إِنَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَفْعَلُونَ. You look at the mountains and you feel that they are steady, they are stable, they don't move. However, these mountains are moving just like the clouds are moving. Who perfected that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the manufacture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the making of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صُنْعَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتْقَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, who has perfected everything that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has made or has created. إِنَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَفْعَلُونَ. He is so knowing about what you do. So these are beautiful ayat that tell us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. After recognizing all of these powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all of these beautiful stories, say Alhamdulillah. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ سَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ فَتَعْرِفُونَهَا. He will show you his signs so that you would recognize them and you would have no doubt about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not distracted or absent-minded or unknowledgeable about what you do. He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Very beautiful ayat in a very beautiful surah, Surah An-Naml. Surah Al-Qasas. Al-Qasas is storytelling or the stories themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning of the surah that we are telling you about details of the story of Musa and Fir'aun for people who want to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the story of Fir'aun here, as we mentioned before, starts from its peak. Inna Fir'auna ala fil ardi wa ja'ala ahlaha shi'a. Fir'aun has shown his extreme tyranny and arrogance on this earth, and he has split its people under his kingdom into groups. Yastad'ifu ta'ifatan minhum, yudabbihu abna'ahum wa yastahi nisa'ahum, innahu kana minal mufsidin. He's one who spreads corruption and oppresses people and kills people and imprisons people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not appreciate this injustice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the relief in the form of a young newborn. A newborn, Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wassalam. We have talked about this story so many times before, how Fir'aun has decreed after seeing a dream that his kingdom is going to vanish at the hands of someone from the Israelites. So he made his command year in and year. So every other year, newborn males from the Israelites are going to be killed. And at that year, Ummu Musa, the mother of Sayyidina Musa, gave birth to him. And she knew that if it's discovered, his son, his newborn is going to be slaughtered. She wondered what to do. How can I protect him? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired her. Throw him in the river. Put him in his crib and throw him in the river. The river is going to carry him to the palace of Fir'aun. Look at the confidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the mother of Sayyidina Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised her, "Inna radduhu ilayki." We're going to return him back to you safely. Not only that, وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, which means he's going to grow up, he's going to receive the guidance and the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know in the story that we have mentioned before, Sayyidina Musa grew up to be, mashallah, a very physically, mentally, spiritually strong man, and he was trying to basically reform his people. He was trying to extract them from the bondage under Fir'aun. So he was trying to advise them on what to do, and he was known within his community as a reformer. And one day he gets into the city and finds this quarrel or dispute and fighting between one of his people, the Israelites, and one of the Egyptians. And he just tries to separate them, and he pushes that Egyptian, and the push was strong enough, it killed him inadvertently by mistake. Sayyidina Musa, recognizing his mistake, repented immediately to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The following day he saw the same Israelite picking a fight again with an Egyptian. He told him, "Innaka laghawiyun mubin," you are a troublemaker. And when he tried to separate them and basically avoid what he did the previous night, that man told him, he thought that Sayyidina Musa is going to attack him this time. قال أتريد أن تقتلني كما قتلت نفسا بالأمس إن تريد إلا أن تكون جبارا في الأرض وما تريد أن تكون من المصلحين. Are you going to kill me as you killed the soul yesterday? No one knew who killed that individual the previous night. Now that Israelite betrayed Sayyidina Musa, and he told him, "You want to kill me as you killed the soul last night? You just want to be a tyrant like the household where you grew up. You're following the footsteps of Fir'aun." Now the news were spread that Egyptian was killed by the Israelite, Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wassalam. Fir'aun immediately sent his guards to try to arrest him. Fir'aun knew, because of the different ethnicity and the different appearance, that Sayyidina Musa was an Israelite, although he was raised as an Egyptian, but he was still an Israelite. So he sent his soldiers to arrest him, and Sayyidina Musa received a warning from a man who came from the far end of the city to warn Sayyidina Musa, "Inna al-mala'a ya'tamiruna bika liyaqtuluk, fakhruj inni laka min an-nasihin." Get out quickly, I came from the far distance from the far end of the city to warn you. And here we find in two different surah, in Surah Al-Qasas and later on in Surah Yasin, the man, the individual who had the responsibility to tell the truth and to give the testimony, the distance didn't prevent them from traveling from across the city to deliver that message urgently. In Surah Al-Qasas, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. In Surah Yasin, a different event, وَجَاءَ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. The same concept, the truth teller came from the far end of the city without caring about the hardship and the distance to travel to deliver the truth. Sayyidina Musa left the city quickly without taking any provisions. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. Looking behind him, "Am I being chased by the soldiers of Fir'aun?" And then he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال ربي نجني من القوم الظالمين. Oh Allah, save me from these oppressors. ولما توجه تلقاء مدين, he headed east towards Madian in Palestine. He was in Egypt. He was heading towards that kingdom in Palestine, where there was a pious man living there. He didn't know about him, Sayyidina Musa, but he traveled to that safe haven. ولما توجه تلقاء مدين قال عسى ربي أن يهديني سواء السبيل. I ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى to guide me to the true correct path. When he reached Madian, and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell us about that arduous, hard journey. If anyone knows the geography and the topography of that area, to cross from Egypt to Palestine, you have to cross the Sinai Peninsula. It's mostly desert with a very mountainous terrain. It's a very rugged terrain. And there's not a lot of plants, even wild plants or anything like that. It's a very hard, deserted terrain. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes that Sayyidina Musa was eating very harsh plants and thorny plants and so on, to the extent that the inside of his mouth had these sores, and it became green from the color of these very tough plants. He reached and he traveled by himself alone without any provisions. Of course, he traveled for several days, and by the time he reached Madian, he was in complete exhaustion. He was so tired, and he just found a water well, and he found people crowding around that water well trying to fill their pots and utensils. And he noticed in the far distance by the side two women who could not participate in this crowd because they were pushing and shoving, and these two women were helpless. They could not go and fill their pots. By the time this crowd is gone, the water is going to be so muddy and the water is going to be so deep, it's going to be very hard to fill their pots. Sayyidina Musa saw this injustice. These men are using their physical power to overpower these women. I am going to be the advocate for these two young women. So Sayyidina Musa approached them and said, give me your utensils, I'm going to fill them for you. And then he approached that water well, started pushing people around with his physical power. People could not challenge him. They saw that he means business. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. He filled their pots, gave them to these two young ladies, and then he sat in the shade of a tree and he made that very beautiful dua, رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Oh Allah, I am in deep need of your kindness and your bounties. Oh Allah, I am helpless to thank you for the bounties that you have bestowed upon me, that you saved me from Fir'aun and his tyranny, and I'm in deep need for more of your bounties, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very beautiful dua. Minutes later, one of these two young ladies came to him saying very shyly, very modestly, my father wants to talk to you and thank you for the good deed that you made to us. And he asked her to tell him what's the direction of their house, because he didn't know. By the time he reached the house, he found that old man, and that is Sayyidina Shu'aib ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. And the man asked him, who are you? Where did you come from? What's your story? You are a stranger. First of all, thank you for doing this good deed without asking for a reward, but tell me your story. And Sayyidina Musa told him his story, how he was born, he was raised, where he was raised, what happened, how he got out of Egypt, and how he traveled all of that distance to come to the safe haven. So he told him, don't worry, you are in a safe place. You are going to live with us as one of us. These two young ladies were so smart, and they had what's called farasa, which means when they look at an individual, they recognize the character on that individual. Sayyidina Musa, very strong, very powerful, and very honest. He did not ask for a reward for this good deed, and he was lowering his gaze. He did not look face to face to these women. So one of them asked her father, Ya abati istajirhu, O father, you have grown old. Why don't you hire him to work in the fields and work for us? Inna khayra man istajarta al-qawiyul amin. And that's how smart she was. The best person to hire is the strong and honest. And Sayyidina Musa satisfied both conditions, check and check, strong and honest. So the father told him, Inni uridu an unkihaka ihda ibnatayya hataini ala an ta'jurani thamaniya hijaj fa in atmamta ashran fa min indik wa ma uridu an ashuqa alayk satajiduni insha'allahu min as-salihin. I want you to marry one of my daughters. And here's a very important thing, by the way. Usually, the man proposes to the family of the bride. But again, if the father of the bride knows a good person, there's nothing wrong whatsoever to approach that young man with the marriage proposition. This is from the sunnah of Sayyidina Shu'aib and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is nothing unheard of if you know a good person and a trustworthy person. There's nothing wrong approaching him, telling him, I have a sister or I have a daughter. Why don't you marry her? So Sayyidina Musa accepted that offer. The offer was, I'm going to give you one of my daughters in marriage. And in return, you're going to serve me or you're going to work with us. You're going to be hired by me for 8 years. That's the term. If you want to extend that term to 10 years, that would be from your side, that you'd be your own generosity. But the term, the minimum term is 8 years. And Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam accepted that offer. The following ayah, فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلِ. When Sayyidina Musa completed that term, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was asked by some of his companions, which term did Sayyidina Musa fulfill? Was it the 8 years or the 10 years? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the more full term, which means Sayyidina Musa served with Sayyidina Shu'aib or served Sayyidina Shu'aib or was hired by Sayyidina Shu'aib for 10 years. After these 10 years, Sayyidina Musa still has a responsibility to his people in Egypt. He took his wife and they traveled back to Egypt through that long journey. But this time they have their provision for the road. We know the rest of the story. When in the middle of the road, he saw a fire on the top of the mountain and it was a cold, dark night. He told his wife, let me go and check this fire. Maybe there are some people there who can give us some shelter, or maybe I can bring some fire to heat our camp. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Sayyidina Musa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the commission to Sayyidina Musa to go and talk to Fir'aun, to tell him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring him to the faith. Sayyidina Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support him with Sayyidina Harun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that request, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave examples of the miracles that he subhanahu wa ta'ala will support Sayyidina Musa with, whether it's his cane changing into a snake or his hand changing color and becoming bright. So many miracles so that Fir'aun would recognize that this is an honest messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Fir'aun, as we mentioned before, and we commented on some of the ayat before, in Surah Al-Shu'ara particularly, how Fir'aun rejected that call, and how after Sayyidina Musa lived inviting his people to Islam for several years, now came the time for the pursuit of Fir'aun and his army to Sayyidina Musa and his followers, who were exiting from Egypt, moving back to the east, to Palestine. And the army of Fir'aun was destroyed, Fir'aun himself was drowned, and Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam resumed his journey with his people. So this is the part of the story of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam that comes in Surah Al-Qasas. Another part of the surah, and again we're going to be jumping around in the ayat here, fast forward to the last part of the surah, which tells us about another story of another person from the family or the tribes following Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. the community of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. And that was Qarun. Qarun was a wealthy trader. He was so wealthy, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, that the keys to his safes were so heavy that a group of strong men could struggle carrying them. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about only the keys. So what about the goods inside these safes? How valuable would that be? How wealthy would that man be? This is a man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with so many gifts, with so many bounties. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him, and he failed the test miserably. Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa fabagha alayhim. Look at the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used, fabagha alayhim. This is a word that has been used often for Fir'aun, that he showed tyranny and he injustice towards his people. Same thing, same ill behavior was displayed by one of the followers of Sayyidina Musa, who must have come with him from Egypt and seen the consequences of tyranny, but he didn't learn his lesson. So again, he started showing discrimination and tyranny because of his wealth. And his people, the wise people in his community, told him, don't be so arrogant, don't be so full of yourself. لا تفرح إن الله لا يحب الفرحين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not appreciate those arrogant people who are full of themselves and see that they have earned what they have without attributing that to the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال إنما أوتيته على علم عندي. It's my own hard labor, it's my own intellect that enabled me to collect this huge fortune. أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة وأكثر جمعا ولا يسأل عن ذنوبهم المجرمون. Doesn't he know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed in the previous nations people who were as wealthy or even more wealthy than he is, with stronger guards and entourage than he does? But those criminals, those sinners are not, you cannot talk to them, because again, they would not listen to you. And one day, to show the amount of his wealth, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. He put on his best clothes, he rode his best ride, and he came out of his palace in the best form and the greatest form of arrogance. Now the poor people who do not know said, oh, we wish we had what Qarun has. يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. He has a great luck, he has a great fortune. But the knowledgeable ones said, no, that's wrong. That's not the right scale. That's the wrong scale. قال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا. The reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much better to those who believe and do the good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show them an example. ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون. Only the ones who endure patience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are going to be the ones rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overnight punished Qarun in a way, unprecedented way. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. This big palace, the following morning people passed by. Where is the palace? There's nothing there. There's a gap. There's a hole in the ground and there's nothing there, as if it didn't exist in the first place. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِئَةٍ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَصِرِينَ. He couldn't find any allies to support him apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was a loser. وَأَصْبَحَ الَّذِينَ تَمَنَّوا مَكَانَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَقُولُونَ وَيْكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Those who wished they were in his place the previous night, now they are saying, oh, look at the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives and he subhanahu wa ta'ala takes whenever he subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. Were it not the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's bestowed his bounties upon us, he could have done the same to us. وَيْكَأَنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Indeed, the non-believers do not succeed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments on this story. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That the hereafter is going to be for those who are not seeking to be tyrants and to exert their power on this earth unjustifiably, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and that the success in the hereafter is for those who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are these? مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. Whoever comes with a good deed, he's going to be rewarded more than that. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى الَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And whoever comes with a bad deed, they're going to be rewarded exactly for that bad deed. So the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, multiplying the good deeds and holding accountable for the bad deed, an equal bad deed. The next ayah is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew in advance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be kicked out of Mecca, expelled from Mecca. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. Now, the scholars of tafsir say, some of them, this is a miracle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be expelled from Mecca, then later on someday you will come back victoriously to rule that city of Mecca. Some others say, no, this ayah is talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given you this Quran, is going to resurrect you for a return, talking about the eternal life in the hereafter, and both meanings are correct. By the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a general command to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. And this is actually also to us. Do not associate anything or anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا إله إلا هو. There's no Lord but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه. Everything is gonna perish except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. له الحكم وإليه ترجعون. To Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ruling, the dominion, and to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala we will return. Inshallah, we're going to stop here with the end of Surah Al-Qasas. And inshallah, we're going to discuss Surah Al-Ankabut later on, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan for listening. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us learn these lessons about the greatness, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of His creation, and the lesson learned from these two surahs, Surah Al-Naml and Surah Al-Qasas, from the dua of Sayyidina Sulaiman, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'matak allati an'amta alayya wa ala waliday, and from the conclusion of the story of Qarun and the dua of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. We should keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nagging on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us. The more we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we show our poverty and dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more He subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless us with His bounties. So inshallah, we're going to resume our journey tomorrow, inshallah. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.